tweeted yesterday, she was already a sympathetic witness. This about Marie Yovanovitch, the testifying former ambassador to the Ukraine. And, quote, the Trump's tweet ripping her allowed Schiff to point it out, characterizing it as witness tampering. Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network, coming to you loud and clear, albeit a bit hot and bothered, from our desert fortress in the Nevada desert, a.k.a. Las Vegas. Friends, this is nonsense, all of this. And I think you know it. And so let's discuss what's happened this week. The impeachment proceedings are on, and Adam Schiff has taken center stage. By the way, doesn't, when he sits in that chair, I think most people are not watching these. They're watching quick clips or see photographs, and he's sitting in this giant chair, this leather chair at the center of the room as the man in charge of the proceedings, and his head, it just looks tiny. It looks tiny up against that leather. And this guy, well, this guy, what they are doing, and the reason that, by the way, what Trump did with that tweet, because he got up, he tweeted in the middle of the ambassador's testimony and criticized her and said, basically, wherever this damn woman shows up, things go to hell. Somalia, the Ukraine, everywhere she's been, bad news. And the world just lost its mind. Now, first of all, it's just Trump being Trump. Second of all, he's right. What you have is a career deep state operative who has been passed from job to job, promotion to promotion, is an absolute, and we said this last week, is an absolute zealous lib. She has a political agenda, and to call her a career State Department employee, fine, career State Department anything terrifies me. It ought to terrify you. And the reason that you voted for Trump is because you wanted his judgment exercising control over our nation's policy and not these nincompoops. Now what we have is members of Congress, Democrats, all sitting there. And by the way, there is no evidence of wrongdoing. There's no evidence of any criminal activity. But what this is a series of grievances being aired out over Trump's plenary power to exert his control over our nation's foreign policy. And that really is the summary of what we've heard this week. Have you heard of anything criminal? No. Have you witnessed anything criminal? No. But what do you make of this? Well, the president going outside of channels. I mean, this is just not how it's done. And this is really what it is. Are small and petty people who are very used to being in control and in power, regardless of what administration comes along, whether it's Obama, whether it's Bush or Clinton, all of them are used to the executive branch deferring to them and deferring to their expertise. And by the way, this is why our foreign policy in the second half of the century or last century was absolute dog crap. And why at the beginning of this century, it hasn't been any better. Because these wonky, unaccountable losers who think they are God's greatest gift to us are directing how our country conducts itself abroad. And it's just no good. So I think that all of this impeachment nonsense is brilliant for exposing what the deep state is. I think that for the average voter, there is not a real understanding of what happens deep inside all of those marble-clad buildings in Washington, D.C. I think intuitively, we understand that whatever's going on in there, we don't like, we don't understand, and we understand these people are, well, they all went, some of us went to school with people who work in there. And we remember what kind of students they were and how absolutely full of themselves they were when they were studying. And we understand that given unchecked power and the ability to exercise their control, you could see how things might get a little bit out of hand. And so we understand, but now we get to see it. We get to see, thanks to Adam Schiff on TV, these people getting up there and they are just so outraged that Trump didn't listen to them. So here is the substance, right? The substance of what is transpiring is very important to me because the key issue here is what political effect will this have? And here's Jim Jordan. This was on Wednesday. Ambassador William Taylor, he came the day before Yovanovitch testified. And this is an exchange with Jim Jordan, Republican, Ohio, with William Taylor.
Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmak on September 1st, 2019, in connection with Vice President Pence's visit to Warsaw and a meeting with President Zelensky. Now, this is his clarification. We got six people having four conversations in one sentence, and you just told me this is where you got your clear understanding. Even though you had three opportunities with President Zelensky for him to tell you, you know what? We're going to do these investigations to get the aid. Didn't tell you three different times. Never makes an announcement. Never tweets about it. Never does a CNN interview. Ambassador, you weren't on the call, were you? The president, you didn't listen on President Trump's call and President Zelensky's call?
I did not.
You've never talked with Chief of Staff Mulvaney?
I never did.
You never met the president?
That's correct.
You had three meetings again with Zelensky and it didn't come up.
And two of those they had never heard about, as far as I know.
And President
there was no reason for it.
President Zelensky never made an announcement. This is what I can't believe. And you're their star witness. You're their first witness.
Exactly. These people are, you know, for all their bow ties and their deep, penetrating looks and gravelly voices, they are high school girls. Actually, that's an offense to the high school girls I went to high school with. I will say this is junior high. It is silly. And they have absolutely nothing. Instead, the headline from all of this is that that Trump basically is being mean to them, that he didn't listen to them. But these are policy disagreements that are entirely have an entirely of a political origin. Yesterday, a similar exchange occurred with Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch. This was Chris Stewart, Republican, Utah, asking her a couple questions.
Do you have any information regarding the President of the United States accepting any bribes?
No.
Do you have any information regarding any criminal activity that the President of the United States has been involved with at all?
No.
Thank you. Thank you for answering that directly. The American people know this is nonsense.
Yes. Yes, we do. Now, this did not stop, by the way, did not stop the Democratic caucus, the House majority, from going out and very cleverly this week shifting their strategy from calling Trump's behavior quid pro quo to bribery. And you'll see this, and I'll explain why this happened. See, quid pro quo, friends, wasn't working. They listened to this program last week. They heard me say quid pro quo all you want. You ain't got nothing here that you can impeach over. And they also, I am told, did some extensive internal polling and realized it's not. Like American public doesn't even understand what the phrase quid pro quo means. It's Latin. So it's over the heads of 90% of the country anyway. And when you explain it to them, well, it's a conditional give. You go, Well, isn't that how we give all of our aid? Isn't it based on conditions? And isn't that thing with Biden, that thing with Hunter Biden's dirty too? So people have been dismissing it, and it's been polling badly. So the Democrats are going all in on this, and they are now have decided to rebrand. And as part of this great rebranding effort, they are now using the word bribery quite a bit. Listen to this.
Yesterday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi really put this in stark terms. She used the term bribery, and it was a signal of what an impeachment charge, if it comes, might be.
Now, Speaker Nancy Pelosi sharpening her case, accusing the president of bribery.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is now declaring President Trump committed bribery, an impeachable offense in the Constitution.
On Thursday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi described the president's actions with a simple but significant word.
Bribery.
That word appears in the Constitution as grounds for impeachment.
It's great. If this were, and friends, it's not. I understand that an impeachment proceeding on the Hill is not a trial. But if this were a trial, if this were a criminal trial, if the prosecutor stood up in public and gave a press conference where he said things about the defendant that were manifestly untrue, he could be disbarred. And it is of note that the Democrats are spinning a yarn here. They're literally making this up as they go. And if you find all of this head scratching, I am here to decipher it for you, because I'll tell you where this is all coming from. There are two enormous political upsides here for the House Democrats that I don't think a lot of people appreciate, and I haven't heard much about this. So the first, of course, being that this is an enormous anti-Trump infomercial. And what they are doing is using our tax dollars, they are filming their own respective re-election campaign videos. That is what this is. Adam Schiff looking up there like, well, I don't think he looks great, but for his district, which I understand is safe, I get it. But for fundraising for the greater cause of the Democratic caucus, right, fundraising to the base, they are putting out, all of this is going to go into videos and propaganda that they will use to fundraise. So it is about the money. This is the Democratic Party. They know Nancy Pelosi is not a stupid woman. None of the witnesses gave testimony anywhere near bribery. And when pressed about bribery, actually literally said, no, I have not. I did not. Not aware. But what this is really about is taking advantage of this and putting it out there and using it to raise money, which they will need gobs of, as they fight to retain their House majority here in a year. Now, the other part of this, and this is, you've got to appreciate that the other political upside here is the one that is actually Trump's upside. And that is that all of this has, I think, a strong likelihood to backfire on the Democrats and get Trump reelected. And if you took an honest-to-goodness poll of Adam Schiff, of Nancy Pelosi, of Chuck Schumer, if you took the whole cabal, and I'll even throw in AOC, which is really on an island, she and her cohorts on an island of their own politically. But if you did an honest-to-goodness poll and you asked them, do you want, now I'm going to say something, do you want Joe Biden running against Trump? Well, I'll tell you right now, I don't think that they would want Joe Biden running against Trump. Because all of this, by the way, they're getting so deep into all of this dirt, and it's going to come back on Obama. It's going to come back on Biden. This is Biden's death knell. This is his swan song. It's over. So this is only getting bad. And Biden is arguably the only Democrat running who has a hope and a prayer of beating the Trumpster. It's not Elizabeth Warren. I hate to break it to you. I just saw today an article musing about, is Kamala Harris the reason we are not, is she proof positive that we are not ready for a woman of color as president? No, no, it's because she's a dummy. Try that on for some, and a lightweight. Has nothing to do with her gender, let alone her race. So we have all these weak candidates, and I am absolutely certain that in the minds of these Democrats, they see this other upside, because the re-election of Trump guarantees them a boogeyman, guarantees them a necessary foil that keeps the American public, well, certainly engages support for a retained majority, I think. And so I again, Trump has been very good. If you know, if it had been Hillary Clinton as president, I doubt, very much doubt, that Nancy Pelosi would be Speaker of the House right now. Sam Rzhovsky on the Sam Nation Radio Network, back right after this. Hi, it's Sam.
Hey, it's Ash, and we're Sam and Ash, your personal injury attorneys.
If you've been injured in an accident, don't talk to an insurance agent or claims adjuster. Talk to us.
Look, the insurance company's job is to deny your injuries, and that's because paying you what's fair costs them money.
We will get you the compensation you deserve. It's what's right.
So visit us at samandash.com.
Samandash.com. Sam and Ash.
Because you deserve what's right.
The Dow Industrials up over 28,000 yesterday. This on good job numbers. Also, I predict, is caused in large part due to the smart people in the room moving money around, recognizing that after hearing the opening shots fired in the impeachment proceedings, realize that there's nothing here and that we will not have any regime change anytime soon. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, here on the Sam Nation Radio Network, making radio great again. I just got back this morning from San Francisco. Now, I have to tell you about this because, well, I was at this restaurant that was a very she restaurant. It had just received a Michelin star. And for those of you who may not be familiar with this, this is the holy grail. If you're in the restaurant business, if you're a chef, there is a company that goes around. They send people to investigate your restaurant, and if they feel that it reaches some high level, you can get a Michelin star or two or three, and it's a very big deal. And so there's this place that I had wanted to go to in San Francisco previously and in past visits, but they since have received this star. So I now is an opportunity. I had a business meeting and I had it there. And I sit down at this place where I'm not saying it's a snooty place, but there's a certain dress code at dinner, expectations of how to dress. And there is this giant woman sitting there who has who has on a pink pousse hat. If you'll remember, this is when Trump was elected, you know, they got all the ladies came out there and protested and had the signs, you know, the homemade signs, and they had on the pink beanies. And some of these pink beanies, I think there was with the reservoir tip, you know, that's how you know that the resistance is strong. If there's room at the top for whatever hot air is coming out of these people. So it's this woman sitting at the restaurant with a white T-shirt that said, "I am the resistance." And a pink pussy hat. I leaned over to my colleague and I said to him, I said, what would happen if I wore a Trump hat, if I had a Make America Great Again hat that I was wearing in this restaurant? And the short answer is, friends, I would not be here right now. The show would be coming to you live from a hospital bed. And that, to me, by the way, is the summary of the state of the left in America today. Because the left that is well, considers itself to be the beacon of tolerance, is anything but that. Now, the funnier juxtaposition is the night before I was at a Vegas Knights game. Fantastic. I'm at this game. I would say I saw, a handful of Make America Great Again hats. Those are my new people. That is where I feel at home. So I'm at this Knights game, and if somebody wore a pussy hat to the Knights game, nobody would give a crap. Nobody would say anything to them. If somebody wore an anti-Trump shirt, they wouldn't get beat up. And the same goes for if you wear pro-Trump stuff. It's just whatever. But if you were to try to do that in San Francisco, it would be absolute game over. So I remember years ago, I thought very seriously about moving to San Francisco. I wanted to go to law school there. I had been admitted to a good law school in the city, and Sherry and I were very seriously considering moving there. And that was, I'll tell you, that was 2011. And so in a very short period of time, in 8 years, that city has literally become a toilet. Where we were considering buying a condo, that street, I walked on it yesterday, and I would not move there with small children, because what I saw at 7:30 in the morning, I cannot even mention on air. Sam Rogowski, I know, I'll get to all the political stuff. Don't go anywhere. Back right after this.
We shall fight on the airwaves. We shall fight on Twitter and Facebook. We shall broadcast our program, whatever the cost may be. And if Sam Nation lasts for 1,000 years, men will say this was their finest hour.
Yes, I know the news yesterday about Roger Stone being convicted of all counts, facing up to 50 years in prison. Fear that he may die behind bars. The reason this is important is not for the story. What Stone did, as all of the other figures in this Mueller drama, what he did was he lied. He hid evidence, supposedly had some, they're all process crimes. They don't go to the heart of any kind of Russia collusion. None of the stuff that Stone did was illegal in any way. Talking to WikiLeaks was not illegal. There was no quid pro quo bribery with Russia. There was nothing, none of the original corpus of the case that Mueller was supposedly going to make against Trump. None of that has been proven. All that we have is these idiots, and that's what how many times have you heard me say on this program, do not lie to the federales? That's what's going to get you. And so all of these characters so far that have been convicted have been all convicted of basically going against my very sound advice. As an attorney, let me tell you, here's the pro tip. You just don't talk to the police. Okay, if they come around asking questions for something that you may have been involved with that you don't want to talk about, don't say anything. The best thing you can possibly do is hire a lawyer, and that lawyer is going to tell the FBI agent to go F themselves. That's what you pay me money for. I'll say it very nicely, though. Now, my client's not talking to you. Go climb a tree. And if they're persistent, I'll tell them to eat a bag of something. But at any rate, if you can't, you just don't talk to them, because in the end, it's much easier to prove that you've told a lie than it is to prove all the elements of whatever charge it is that they allege you to have committed or transgressed. Most crimes are not, it's not as simple as X equals Y. You have to say, well, if you've got to prove premeditation, you've got to prove that there's certain elements of each crime that have to be set forth. So this is why prosecutors will always go for the low-hanging fruit. The easy low-hanging fruit is lying to police officer, lying in testimony, giving any kind of untruthful testimony, whatnot. So that's what happened here. The other thing that I think you want to know is that there probably is not a person right now in this political story who overstates their importance more than Roger Stone. This is a guy, and producer Robbie is smiling because we had a fun chat with him back at the Cleveland convention in 2016. And you know what I'm saying? He's a gadfly. He's a guy that shows up. He's a dramatic figure. He's kind of a nut, to say the least. He is not a close, longtime Trump friend and associate and whatnot. This is a guy who inserted himself into the process, brought with him a connection from WikiLeaks, made himself relevant in this, certainly was a believer in America First and making America great again, understood all that. But Roger Stone's always been in it for Roger Stone. And that's been his historic MO. And so this is really, again, a whole lot of nothing. Now we are at the end of the Mueller probe. So the Mueller investigation with this conviction is officially at an end. And there is still, this is the real story, right? This is the takeaway. There is still no Russia collusion. There's still no Putin ties. There's no Russia helped Trump get elected. None of that can be proven or has been proven. So back to square one. Now we have to call it bribery. See, it all connects. Now we got to come up with a whole new word. These people, this is like going to a kid's birthday party. Adam Schiff's got the baseball. He's got the blindfold pinata, trying desperately to get a crack at Trump. No luck. Nada. It's not going to happen. I'm just telling you. Back right after this. Hi, it's Sam.
Hey, it's Ash, and we're Sam and Ash, your personal injury attorneys.
An accident is incredibly stressful. Handling an insurance claim, totally overwhelming.
Also, insurance companies have zero interest in giving their money to you, because that just cuts into their profits.
Our team is in your corner because you deserve what's right, and that's full compensation for your injuries.
So visit us 24/7 at samandash.com.
Sam and Ash.
Because you deserve what's right.
Even legitimate Trump haters are struggling to come up with legitimate reasons for this process on Capitol Hill moving forward. Here is Jeffrey Toobin on with Jake Tapper on CNN, this on Wednesday. Listen to this.
The one criticism of these two witnesses, which I think is very much legitimate, it's not really a criticism, it's just a factual statement, is that neither of them had direct contact with the president.
Ever.
Ever. And that's a problem if you're going to impeach the president.
You think? And this is why the analysis, right, the way that this story is being told, and why we had Marie Yovanovitch on the stand yesterday to cry and talk about, I just felt so threatened by Trump. This is a lady who we are sending to a hot spot in the world. We have I thought the Democrats have been telling us for years now that we have a Russia problem. And Trump cannot be trusted with the Russia problem. So the Ukraine is a buffer. Let's just think about it in those terms. Ukraine, we can keep Russia in check by supporting the Ukraine. Russia would like nothing more than to reclaim its former territory. Trust me, the Russians view all of the republics to their east, including the Ukraine, as rightfully theirs. And Putin would love nothing more than to reconstitute the former territories of the Soviet Union. So with this said, the largest chunk of that and the most critical chunk is the Ukraine. And so if we are to believe that it is so important that we maintain parity, if not parity, then absolute domination over Vladimir Putin, we are supposed to understand, appreciate, and feel sorry for and sympathetic to a character like Marie Yovanovitch, who starts to quiver and turn pale when she hears that the President Donald Trump has said mean things about her, and she is now quake. I'm distraught. We are sending this person to be our point lead woman on the ground to stare down the Russians, the wannabe Soviet Union. We are to stare them down. And this is who we are to believe is the competent and mentally stable person to take this charge. I'm blown away. And you're going to give it some time. This narrative will develop. People will reexamine this. And the Brett Baer's tweet that I summarized and read from earlier in the hour, I don't think that is going to age well. Because the inevitable conclusion has to be here that this lady, it was not fit to be in the position that she was in. And that having presided over a period at which we lost ground with an ally, ceded territory literally to Moscow, that perhaps she was not the best leader to lead at that time. Moreover, I'll say this. I think, as best as I understand it, the president has an absolute right to dispose of an ambassador at any point, at any time. It's his policy, not hers. And that is the tension here. This is these people that are inside the State Department that have been there for 30 years, that have all these credentials and have these great resumes. These are people who did not get elected by you and me to manage our foreign policy. And thank goodness, because you would never elect this woman or those two other bozos or the people that we'll hear from next week. So I have a few predictions about how this all goes down. I'll tell you those when we come back. And then more to talk about here on the Sam Nation Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, on the show tonight is Sam Murjowski. Now, what Sam is the leading word in correct thinking, as opposed to Ed, which is drunk thinking. And that's usually where the left ends up, on the wrong side of right.
I think the media understands that we have a very short attention span. So when they've got something to tell us, they put it out in the first two sentences, or three, in any story that they put out on the interwebs. And so here the Associated Press is summarizing how great, how wonderful, how pithy Marie Yovanovitch's testimony was yesterday. And here is the first line. In chilling detail, ousted U.S. Ambassador to the Ukraine Marie Yovanovitch described to Trump impeachment investigators how she felt threatened upon learning that President Donald Trump had promised Ukraine's leader she was going to go through some things, quote unquote. If they actually had something bigger, wouldn't they? I mean, that's what they would put in the lead of the story. So what this is alluding to is Trump wants to get rid of her. She's not being helpful. She was cozy with the previous regime, the one that the Ukrainian people, this guy won election by 80% or something like that? Because the previous regime, the previous presidency in the Ukraine made it one of the most corrupt places on the planet. And who were they close with? Well, of course, they were close with Obama. And who was Obama close with? Well, it's interestingly enough, Obama's the same guy who was promising to Moscow that when, you know, that hot mic moment, what was that? When he was talking to Medvedev and he said to him, hey, you know, after the election, I'm going to be able to be a little more flexible with you on some things. All of this stinks to high heaven. And so the big takeaway here is these are policy disagreements, and that Trump is not being conventional, and that it offends the media and it offends the political establishment is exactly the reason why he got elected in 2016. And the more these people draw attention to this, the more that they shine a spotlight on this, the more likely it is that Trump be reelected again. All right, more on the state of the election when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem, and Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
Rojofsky, Sam Nation here on the Sam Nation Radio Network, coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. Saturday midday, and it is a pleasure to be here. Sometimes to look forward, you've got to look back. What do I mean? I think as I look at the state of the race, the Democratic race for the Democratic Party nomination, I can't help but remember 2016, 4 years ago. What was going on as the Republicans among multiple candidates were battling to get the nomination. And I'll ask you a question. How was that race different from this one? Well, the simple and short answer is that the Democrats don't have a Trump. But I'll actually say it's a little bit more than that. So if you look at the polling, the data, which of course we know can be flawed, but when we look like right now, looking at the Democratic nomination race to be the vanguard of the Democratic Party to take the fight to Trump, you know, everybody's a little bit all over the place. Somebody surges and they drop back down. Somebody's the new hottest thing. Wait, Elizabeth Warren last, let's say, 4 weeks was the hot thing. She's dropping again right now. And the polling reflects my own gut of it, is that she comes out there, she gets hot, she is gets visibility. And the minute that we see too much of her, even devoted liberals are like, whoa, you are way too bat nuts crazy for me. And I think it was last week when played some great audio from Bill Gates going, this is okay. I mean, I'm all for paying taxes, and I've paid a lot more taxes than any of you in the room. But when it comes to this kind of taxation, I don't know what's enough is enough, which is a subtle way of saying that Elizabeth Warren is absolutely nuts. All right. So they get a little bit of attention, they get a little bit more spotlight, and they don't shine in that spotlight. They don't have any lasting it power. What happened 4 years ago is that the more we saw of Trump, with the exception of a few maybe stumbles along the way, the more people liked him. They were willing to give on some of his idiosyncrasies in exchange for his true authenticity. And I, want to make a very important point here. When you talk to your friends and they say, oh, Trump, he's just awful and all these things that he's doing, right? Those are all things that he ran on that. If you don't like his immigration policy, FYI, he literally said, this is what I'm going to do. I want to build a wall at the border. There's nothing nice about a wall at the border. And they called his wall racist, his ideas stupid, all this stuff. But he got elected. And so you look at now the Democratic candidates and their ideas and the value proposition that they're selling, none of it's biting. And the polls, it doesn't look like I'm looking at any political polling here for a breakaway candidate. Where you see a candidate start low and trend upwards over time, there's nobody there. This looks to me like a truth detector chart or something. Up and down, up and down, up and down, or maybe a hospital vitals printout. Trump back July of 2015 was where? 1%. And by, let's say, we'll call it by May of 2016, he was where? Let's see here. I'm pulling it up. And of course, my computer's not 46% at the time that the primary ended. Trump was at 46% to Cruz's 27. By the way, third was Kasich. Oh, my God. Kasich polling at 18%. No wonder that man still continues to have false illusions of grandeur. Now, on speaking of false illusions. Hillary Clinton actually still thinks that she's relevant and has a chance. I know you think, some of you, that this is just scuttlebutt. And you think this is supposition. I guarantee you, I know that Hillary's people and Hillary are considering her entering into the race. The Democratic race for the nomination is, I believe, still completely wide open. And that especially in light of where these impeachment proceedings are headed. These impeachment proceedings are headed straight. They're like a precision guided javelin missile headed straight at the heart of Joe Biden's campaign. And what I mean by that is that there's 26% of the vote right now that's up for grabs. And that's not an insignificant number. Now, the top tier candidates being Biden, Warren, and Sanders. Yeah, Bernie. I mean, Bernie, as of today, is still averaging 17%. Mr. quote-unquote reasonable, the boy wonder mayor from Indiana, Buttigieg, he's only at 8%. And I don't think he has what it takes. So there may still be somebody that enters this race. But my point is that the Democrats are absolutely SOL politically. For all of you that are being told time in and time out, oh, there's no way that Trump wins this thing. It's nonsense. It's absolute bullcrap. It's not a binary choice. It's not Trump or no Trump. Yes or no to Trump. If that were the vote, I think most people would vote no. But if it's between Trump and Sanders or Warren, even Buttigieg, I don't think that's going to be good for the Democrats. And I also want to point out that congressional Democrats are not interested in the least right now in helping any of the leading candidates. I know. AOC has put her support behind Bernie. But if they were interested, if they were at all in any way invested in advancing the cause of any of these candidates, they would be taking a completely different strategy with the impeachment proceedings. They would be far more measured. I actually believe that they wouldn't even hold them. because putting giving Trump another victory over another dud, fail to land, failure to take off investigation, and have it all wrap up kind of right as everything's heating up in the general election, I don't think this is a good look at all. It's firing up his base. I know it's firing up the Democratic's base, true, but it's firing up Trump's base. And so while it is a great fundraising ploy and it gives Nancy Pelosi a lot of energy going into the 2020 election, I don't see it helping any of the candidates. And that's also one of the things that we're seeing in the polling. And all of the candidates, it's funny. Yeah, Buttigieg is trending upwards, but he went from 5 to 8%. This is not some breakaway. At the same time, Warren went from 25%, 26% down to 20. So it's up and down, give and take. So who are the candidates that have any potential of making any kind of headway? What would happen if Hillary entered this race? What do you think would? Oh, you saw her tweet. Did you see this? Yeah, she called out Trump. She said, "This is witness tampering." Yeah, telling somebody who is testifying for the Democrats who got fired for being an incompetent ambassador, calling her incompetent. That's witness tampering. It's a crime. Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. Hillary Clinton tweeted, "Witness intimidation is a crime, no matter who does it. Full stop." Isn't this the same Hillary Clinton who quickly hired all the witnesses against her, made them her attorneys, so that they couldn't testify? The Clintons who routinely... wasn't it Hillary Clinton whose chief role in the Clinton administration was to silence witnesses against who would potentially testify against her husband, the then President Bill Clinton? I mean, they have no idea how dumb this all sounds. And so it is against this backdrop, right, that we have, I think, a wide open field. I think Hillary Clinton is tone deaf enough to just maybe step back into this race. Of course, she would get nowhere with it. But I think there might, I don't know, there might be somebody else. Tom Steyer entered the race. I don't know if you know about this. He's not polling anywhere, by the way, but he's running a lot of ads here in Nevada, a ton of Tom Steyer ads. And I think he's got the look and feel of a candidate that could potentially go somewhere. Steyer, he's a big money guy out of California. That's what he is. Big Silicon Valley lib who has dumped a ton in a motor voter in California. He's single-handedly responsible for putting California in the toilet because he's got his people out there, this organization, signing up illegals and other people to vote. This is a known thing. So, yeah, so maybe he'll have some traction. Or Klobuchar. Maybe Klobuchar will be the breakaway candidate. I don't know. I'm just telling you, this thing is without a strong candidate on the Democratic side, who I think would have emerged by now. The field is wide open for Trump. And against a loser, against a wounded consensus candidate, I think Trump has a massive upper hand. And will likely result in his reelection, certainly. All right. More on this and a couple of fun stories. Michael Avenatti back in the news. Sort of not. That's funny. Don't go anywhere. I'll tell you about that when we come back.
You're looking for a show that doesn't sugarcoat the truth. Sam Nation will accommodate you.
Rajovsky, Sam Nation, do you remember Avenatti? That's a good question because we, of course, here on the program, do. Well, he took up all the oxygen in the room for a period of time. was the number one go-to guy for the resistance, was supposedly going to run for president himself. Remember, he was a guy that The View routinely tried to get to recruit to run for president. I think even at one point said that he was strongly considering it. Well, you remember, yeah, of course, he was at the Hudson Yards in New York, which is a fancy new development. They've got some offices in a big mall shopping center. He's out there in his pea coat strutting when a few FBI agents surrounded him and quietly put him in handcuffs and led him away into the clink for allegedly having, well, speaking of quid pro quo, he was trying to shake down Nike. Yeah, Nike, he was going to release some things that were going to make Nike look really bad if they didn't pay him $10 million. So Nike reported him to the police, the feds swooped in and arrested him. And since then, we've come up with a lot of information about Avenatti. I was just at a legal conference. Like I said, I was in San Francisco. I was talking to a friend who has represented a number of Avenatti victims. So I'm telling you that this... From what I've heard, the man has taken client funds and allegedly taken client funds and used them as his own. Nevertheless, Alex Trebek on Jeopardy, Tournament of Champions, did this. There was a lawyer's section, right? So in one of the rounds, one of the contestants, Emma, chose lawyers, and this is what happened.
Lawyers, 800.
This lawyer's star rose while repping Stormy Daniels, but fell after he was accused of trying to extort millions from Nike in 2019. His name, quickly forgotten, obviously, Michael Avenatti. Back to you, Emma.
Ah, so, why is this important? It's funny. I know it's funny. Okay, but there's a real reason for this. These guys on Jeopardy and ladies on Jeopardy, they are smart. I mean, they are really smart. And they have supposedly really good memories, right? They're not like me. I forget everything right away. If I don't have it written down, it's gone. So these people have excellent memories, good systems and ways of retaining information. Now, it could be, I mean, just the other people on the stage were thinking, of course it's Michael Avenatti, but for this lady, it didn't come up. And I think there's an important takeaway. The American public is just not paying attention to all the Trump, anti-Trump signals that are being put out there and by the media on a daily basis. Yes, yes, yes. I agree that the media establishment, the political establishment, the wonks, we are in it. We're engrossed by it. We're living it moment to moment. But for the rest of America, it's a giant yawn. And it's a yawn because it's an overload. The impeachment proceedings didn't begin last week. They began even before Trump was sworn in. The Democrats self-declared themselves as a resistance movement. And so after a while, the soap opera that goes on and on and on without any real good, fantastic, satisfying result is just boring people. And I think that this is fascinating because Avenatti was by far the most entertaining of anti-Trump evangelists. I mean, if Avenatti can't capture a lady who's on the on Jeopardy, right, can't capture, get on her radar, then how the hell is Adam Schiff going to get on the radar of your average middle-of-the-road voter? It's just not gonna happen. And I think, I also will say another thing, that this week's person of the week is Marie Yovanovitch, We are talking about her. Brett Baer, Fox News even, is incensed and infuriated. How dare Trump speak this way to her? How awful. How terrible. Okay? Tomorrow, she's forgotten news. The same with Christine Ford. The same with Avenatti. It's just whoever the left uses in the moment to advance their cause against Trumpism, they discard, they forget, and they leave by the wayside, and they end up being no different than the Olympic facilities in Beijing, right there just now in a rust pile. Avenatti's going to be in jail. Christine Blasey Ford is in a trailer park somewhere, and Maria Ivanovich is, well, she'll be teaching at some, you know, B-rate community college. But that's how these things go. And in the end, the joke will be on all of these people that thought that this was relevant in any way, that thought they were getting traction. Because I believe that the political class in this country they're just deluded. They're deluded into thinking that we here in America are hanging on every word with bated breath. What is the, oh, please tell us, lead us in the right direction. When all we want from these bozos is to get out of our way, lower our taxes, and let us go to work and make money. That's all. So in the words of Bill Clinton, it's the economy, stupid. And the economy's going well for right now. That's her, I think, Trump's biggest threat and potential headwind. And that's what will determine this election. Certainly not anything that you've heard in the news this week about impeachment. All right. We've had a wonderful show. I'd like to thank also, I've forgotten to do this earlier, but I'd like to thank Sam and Ash, our sponsors. Attorneys here in Nevada, samandash.com, because you deserve what's right. Friends, I will be out for the holidays through Thanksgiving. Have a wonderful time with your families and friends. Eat lots of turkey or faux turkey or whatever it is that you enjoy. And I will see you back here on the show in the first week of December. Have a wonderful time and thank you. I appreciate you and talk to you soon. People